I don't buy it.
Well, Shalika, I was trying to find out for some.
Second.
Any changes or concerns in the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed, sorry. All right, the motion carries. Treasurer's report.
It was emailed out. If anyone has any questions, let me know.
Are there any questions on it? We've got the grant.
We did receive the revenue of 72,000. $800 and some change.
So that's good, right?
Yeah, very good.
Before the end of the year. Anybody have any questions or any changes that may, or any questions or concerns on the record?
Nope.
Can you have your vote? Update.
First property on here is 137 East Washington.
I was going to say, Matt, thank you for agreeing to be our executive director. Matt,
I'm
sorry.
It's
okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it. First property on here is 137 East Washington Street in Bath. That is a property that was demoed and is going back to Habitat. They have the paperwork in hand and are with the attorney, their attorney, Tom Bose, to transfer that back to Habitat. I believe Rocco, Danielle, and I are meeting with Lisa Karachi this Friday from Habitat, so I can get an update then, but that should be before year end.
I have an update on that. So they actually just put the 10% deposit down on a 1,600 square foot home, three-bedroom home from Owl Homes in Bath. So they're moving forward pretty aggressively to have that house set in January.
That's good to hear.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah,
that's
great. Code's been great, and you know they had to shift the home for setbacks on either side because it's a narrow lot, but it's been ordered. All the finishes have been picked out. It'll be a complete finished home. The only thing Habitat's going to do is really build a porch. They have to do the site work and they have to do the finished painting inside, but you know, Arbor has a buyer approved, so it's moving fairly quickly. They just have to get the pad poured in the next couple weeks here.
Great. That's good news. How about Terry Street in Hornell?
So Terry Street, we do have, there is bank commitment on that property. I'm currently waiting on the survey and abstract. I believe that is one of the few properties where we actually had the abstract, so that doesn't have to be recreated completely. So that is anticipated to close in December.
So it was going to be early, if I remember right, it was going to be early December.
Yeah, so my assumption would be probably more towards mid at this point.
But it's going ahead.
Yep.
Under Enterprise, Chestnut Street Corning.
This is another one. We also have received bank commitment. The abstract is being recreated as we speak, as well as the survey being completed. This is one that was talked about to have early occupancy, where we couldn't charge rent, so we charged basically an early occupancy fee. Jeff Squires, the land bank attorney, has received the funds, so the buyer is in the home. The utilities are in his name, so everything's moving forward with that. That's a VA loan, if I remember correctly, so they tend to take a little bit longer than regular loans, so my guess would be end of December, into January to close on that one.
Because originally we thought maybe mid-December. I did go by, I saw lights on. So it's like, oh, they're in there. And that one's moving ahead, great. Chestnut Street, Hornellsville.
Yep, the next one, same status, bank committed. and also waiting on survey and the abstract to be created. So that's the problem with most of these, is that we don't have the abstract, and they typically take a few weeks to a month to recreate that. But again, all moving forward, I really don't have anything outside of that, but we anticipate that also within the next month.
Busy next month.
Mm-hmm. Pulteney, I personally don't have a lot of, on that. Maybe Danielle Rocco or Jeannie has information on that one.
You're muted, Jeannie.
You're muted, Jeannie. You guys can't read lips.
That's so good.
So Pulteney's moving along. I believe a couple of the owner of the company actually has had to be quarantined. I don't know how many of his other guys. Currently there's two new guys up there working on it. So they're moving along. We're going to do a walkthrough by the end of the week. So we'll have an update at that point.
So is it on track for the end of the year?
May go into January. I've got to really see it this week. I don't know what having a few guys off the site has done. But Carl went and looked at it last Friday, and they had the drywall up, and we're working on the wall. So it's continuing to move.
Kempo.
The only thing I have in my notes on this one is that it was waiting on the tax sale.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Possible
right
now, demo.
No change.
I wrote that down ahead because I figured that. But we keep it on the list. How about 7162 State Road, State Route 54.
So the 10-day eviction did expire, and Jeff was going to file the 3-day paperwork on Monday. So I have to get with Jeff to see if he did file. As far as we know, the people are still in the home. All utilities are still in their name. So we have to basically move forward within the court system, which is trying in and of itself for anything, let alone an eviction in these times. So we're not really sure how this is going to work out, the eviction part right now.
So did the executive order change so that it has to be a COVID related reason?
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. And the other part of it is they define tenant as it's defined in the law, which means somebody that's there month to month or under a lease. This person is a squatter.
Yeah.
So they don't meet the definition.
They don't qualify. But getting rid of them is another story.
Correct.
Well, yeah. Jeff and I had a conversation without getting into too much detail, but at this point you can move it directly to county court. So he was going to move directly to county court to try to get the proceeding underway.
So if it goes to county court, is there a big backlog there? Good. Just in time for Christmas. Sorry.
Gives you that warm fuzzy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, we let him have Thanksgiving. Baldwin Avenue, Addison.
Okay, so that ties right into the first property, the 137 East Washington Street. So Habitat does have that paperwork to transfer back to them. So that should be in December as well. Transferred over. They're going to pay half the demo costs that we incurred and then transfer it to them.
And that one's moving along.
Yep.
And then there was a discussion last time about Mayor, you had a concern about the property, not the house, but the property.
Yes. Was that 2024 Baldwin we just talked about?
Yes.
And that's going to be demoed.
Right? It's going to be demoed.
It's already
24 been has been demoed.
It's already been demoed. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think I think it's already been demoed, but my question is that I did get an email and concerning the used to be Tuscarora Street extension that went through there that tied into Baldwin Avenue from Tuscarora Street. And I guess that is, I can acquire that. I've got to get a, I guess Larry and see what the procedure is to, so we can take ownership of the property that used to be the road. Now, what is the land bank's, what are they going to do with the actual, where the house sits? Is there going to be a house there, or give me some idea of what's going to happen there?
So that property was actually donated to Habitat for Humanity, and to help us with our demo quotas, it was transferred to the land bank to demolish and then go back to them. So their intention was actually to put multiple homes on those two lots. But, you know, I did indicate that the village was interested in purchasing that. And I sent your contact information a few times over to Lisa Karachi. So I just texted her and she said, crap, I forgot to call him. So she is interested in having that discussion with you. But, you know, if that doesn't take place, they are planning to put two or three homes there in the coming years.
On the big lot.
Yeah, the house that came down was on a small lot and then possibly one or two additional on the big lot.
Okay, because my intention would be to try to, like I said, move forward and move the fire department building off the Five Corners, which is a disaster. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some grant money. Obviously, we can't just, you know, build it. The village can't afford to just build a, you know, $500,000 structure or whatever, or more. So that would be down the road. But if I can't make that happen, if that doesn't look like it's going to happen, we'd certainly welcome two or three homes in there. I think everybody's up to date. Maybe that realizes there used to be a little, little small restaurant there. They called a snack shack or whatever. So there is some underground plumbing there that was tore down and buried. So there was some underground plumbing there to just to be advised of.
So we don't own that property. We've given it back to Habitat. So really, the discussion about the property is really between Habitat and the village.
But there is, as he mentioned, there's another parcel, which was the abandoned street, because we found that I was looking at the GIS maps and I found that there's a parcel adjacent to what we're looking at that isn't even on the tax roll. It didn't have a tax map ID number. And Tammy worked with the real property tax office to investigate it. And that's what they determined. It's not on the county tax map system. So the village could acquire that.
Yeah, I don't even think that they have to acquire it. I think they just have to go through a process because
okay. If it's a
street.
Yeah, they had it. Yeah.
So I don't understand what that process is.
So Ray, did you hear what we were just saying?
Yes, but I'm wondering down the road, is if you put homes in there, would it be better served if we put that back as a street? I mean, you're going to build something where 24 Baldwin Avenue is going to be torn down, or it's already torn down. Would we need to maintain that and put it back as a street, or what would be the best intentions if you put two or three homes on the big vacant lot?
Yeah, I guess that would be the village's call, Ray. It's just knowing that this piece of land sits there and is available. If you wanted to move forward with your fire station relocation, then that's some more land. If you don't want to move forward with it and you want to recreate a street, I mean, that's your decision as well. But that doesn't really, that parcel doesn't have anything to do with the land bank because it's not under our control.
Right, exactly. But I didn't know if they were planning on putting a house on the vacant lot now where 24 Baldwin used to be.
Yes, they are.
So really it's between Habitat and in the village.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So she's going to get with you, right, Ray? Isn't that what
Rocco said?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry about that. I reminded her a few times in the past month, but I'll make sure that happens.
Is that Lisa?
Yes.
Okay.
So we can move on to what about the other potential demos that we talked about in the past? We had a few choices, Addison and Hornell and Canastillo.
Well,
so Danielle, go ahead. You sent out those evaluations.
I sent that to you yesterday, yes. So Rocco and Carl had evaluated the homes and there were three recommendations that he had. There was a donation in Addison, 115 Front Street. And then the mayor of Hornell had also sent two recommendations, 274 Walnut and 10 Cottage Ave. So Rocco, I don't know if you want to kind of go through those and what you witnessed while you were out there.
Yeah, I mean, there was additional ones in Canastillo and Hornell and Addison that the code department recommended to be look at. So we did narrow it down to three. You know, the issue is these aren't available through the tax foreclosure process. They're not on the market. So the path to ownership, I think, is a little messy with all of them. Mm-hmm. So which is why we didn't pick just one. My recommendation was to pursue all three to see which one, you know, we may be able to get title of with the least amount of effort through, you know, estates or, you know, absentee owners or liens and judgments on the property. But I think the one in Addison, you know, was next to the Acorn Market, was kind of a good option. It doesn't look horrible. It's not completely blighted from the exterior, but there was a fire inside. We did not get in. You know, the renovation costs would exceed the resale. It's highly visible. Carl thought it was a double or triple lot, so it might be good for redevelopment or commercial possibilities. So we thought, I think Danielle talked to the one owner, they'd be willing to donate it as long as we can skip trace the absentee ex-spouse.
Correct.
So, you know, that might be a
possibility.
We can work on it if we decide that's something we want to pursue. And then the two in Hornell that we got letters from the code department and Mayor Buckley recommended. The one was 274 Walnut Street. And you know, Danielle sent these printouts out. You know, that's condemned and one of the worst we've ever seen. It's beyond repair. It's an unsafe structure. It's not a highly visible area. It's kind of a commercial district. I forget which business it was that was on that lot, but it does have to come down. The notes from code was that the property taxes have not been paid for years. So I don't know where that stands in the foreclosure process. There are liens on it. You know, neighbors were interested in it, but they didn't know how to go about, you know, extinguishing those liens and judgments. But that's certainly something that should come down. And the other one in Hornell, 10 Cottage Avenue, you know, Danielle and I and our construction guy were a little concerned with pursuing this one because it's a row home. It's attached to another home. You know, again, not a great, highly desirable neighborhood, not that visible, but it is condemned and in very poor condition. It's close to downtown. It's close to a playground. Code has significant issues about the safety of the area. There's bricks falling off often. So it being attached to another home, it'd be more expensive for us to demo. We may have to do a lot of it by hand to avoid, you know, disrupting the structure next door. But it's something that I think should come down for the community as well. So I don't know if we had any notes on the title or ownership issues there, but all three seem to be worth taking down to me.
Do we think that the Addison property that is potentially a donation, the best one that we should at least pursue?
I think so, because the other two we could get title to as part of the foreclosure, but it would be the same action to which we could get title to Campbell. Mm-hmm. And we've already identified Campbell, and you know, that one's just stuck.
Yeah.
And the other two are stuck as well in Hornell. I mean, the county couldn't take title to those any quicker than we can with Campbell.
And so, isn't Cottage Ave the one that we have estate issues? There's been title issues with that one for years, my recollection.
I just cancel the taxes on that one. And I've had conversations with the codes person over there about the neighbor, but you know, whether that goes anywhere, I don't know, but that at least has hope. Someone else dealing with it.
Yes, title issues.
I remember having.
Yes. So the owner, it's a very long story.
Yeah, it was in a nursing home and nobody had power of attorney. And Pat, I remember having this conversation with Pat a couple of times. It was just ugly.
Going to take title and then nothing happened. And then the owner actually did pass and the son has liens and judgments and so forth.
Are they paying their taxes?
No taxes.
Yeah, it looks like Leon Babcock Sr. was the original owner who's now deceased.
Mm-hmm. Well, significantly in more ways than one.
So what do we do to pursue the Front Street and Addison property?
Rocco, is the ex-wife on the title still? Is that the issue?
Danielle might be the best one to answer that.
So it's actually the woman that is wanting to donate it. It's the ex-husband that has just up and disappeared. She does not know a contact number, where he even would be living. So she wants to donate it to us. It's just, how do you get around the fact that there's this other party on the deed who is not able to be contacted to sign off?
Thing in the papers all around that says
that would be a partition action in court that would take longer than your time frame to get it demoed.
So that's really not viable.
You could send letters if they had some place and try to, but it sounds like there's no contact information. You could try to get him to sign off, but if you can't find him, you need his signature.
Check with it. Jail with the sheriff to see if they can track back where he might be.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Never know. All right, so we still need a demo.
By June 30th, is that right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there were two decent options in Canastillo out of the four the code recommended, but Amy was working on those and they had similar issues as well.
Correct.
Maybe we should put an ad in the paper. We'll tear down your junk. There's got to be somebody.
So Jen, I know we were trying to do something in Bath and Hornell because we've done quite a bit in Corning, but I'm sure in Corning Code, Jen could probably make some recommendations as well.
I can talk with my code officer. We've probably got something that would be, up for demo if we're really looking for something. But 115 Front by Acorn, is that the issue? Is I know the wife was looking to donate it, but the husband's still on the still on the paperwork.
Yes.
Mayor, do you know where the husband is? We could find him. We might be able to do it.
I don't know where he is, but getting the sheriff involved, he must have a driver's license if they could do a search on him and maybe locate where he's at.
Yeah.
Who puts that request?
The impression I got is he is no longer in the area.
I have no idea.
We need it.
As Corning would say, Hilda, he's moved on to seek other opportunities.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
That's the blurb.
Apparently, he doesn't care about that house. So we need some clean property. We know there's lots of ideas on demos, but.
That's
probably name 4 or 5. Yeah.
I mean, we still have the 291 Park Avenue, which is in the CHP priority zone that we plan to demo, but is that tied up in the county foreclosure still, because it was on the list this year.
Park Avenue one? That's right by the, on the end of, before you get to Hope Cemetery.
Right on the city line.
I think that was one of the ones tied up.
Tied up. There's one on First Street, 111 West First. I don't know if that's, I mean, that needs a demo. The one next to it was already demoed. The county and the city worked together to demo that several years ago. And the one next to it needs it too, because it's just falling apart. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's really bad. But I don't know if that's tied up.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. It's a big green multi unit. Yes. So that was West First Street was CHP's first block, the block to the east. And then the one block across from the school, we actually, Corning Housing Partnership, took down that home 2 years ago. And we were trying to get title to the one you're referring to, Helga. And I spoke to the gentleman multiple times. He wanted like $60,000 for the building. So
for that?
Yes, we've had, we've done a lot of work around that. And he's, I can't remember his name. He owns a liquor store in Bath, but he was difficult to deal with.
Not like Sweet, new mayor. Well, that's ridiculous, but yeah, I can see that then. You must be paying the taxes, I guess.
Those three on Conhocton behind my Market Street wash that are owned by John Spencer, right where at the intersection of Tioga.
We tried to buy those, right?
Yeah. I mean, he wants $180,000 for those three and they're dumps. I mean, they should all be torn down.
So yeah, there's a lot of places that could, they could use the demo, but
yeah.
What are we going to do?
That was my, first thought too was, is that Mike Sweet?
No.
Yeah.
A different liquor store.
Oh, okay.
I'll find his name. Somebody has to know him. Hang on. It'll take me a minute.
So we have till what, January or July to June?
It has to be done by June 30th, I would guess. It has to be down and paid for, probably.
Yes.
Or what happens? Does the grant money go back?
Technically, Jeannie, you're muted, but yeah, they could request us to send. Well, really, since we do everything on a reimbursement basis, the funds just wouldn't be available for the project. It could also hurt us on future applications. If we're not meeting our deliverables, it would count against us next time around.
But because of COVID and the whole court issue, I wonder if that would take into account.
We've already gotten a 6-month extension that's been approved. So technically our grant expires this December and they granted us a 6-month extension.
Okay.
I mean, if we were close to closing a deal and getting it done, I think they would waiver. But if we, you know, in June, if we don't even have a place to demo, that would be a situation.
Right.
So where do we go from here? Look for more properties that might be clear to dump, to demo. Got lots of ideas, but
so what about the cornerstone list? I know that's been dwindling down. Danielle, have we revisited that for a demo? Or it was CP Community Progress Inc. had 160 properties that they took back from Cornerstone Homes 2 years ago. No,
I mean, we can reach out. I never had that list. So we can figure out who to reach out to and see what the options are.
We have a home at 44 Upper Farnham Street that Cornerstone owned that I think needs a demo.
We did look at that one as well.
it's
That one encumbered by something.
What was the address on it?
No, the community progress. Upper
Farnham. Oh, so that one, I have tried contacting Cornerstone Homes and I have left them several messages and they won't call me back. That's what it was. I did, because Jonelle sent me the contact information for them and I'm not able to connect with them to see what their thoughts are on selling the property.
Is that it needs a demo as well?
Yes, that is what Jonelle, the code officer, had said.
Yeah, it's real bad. We had some real bad issues there with garbage. The whole place was piled with garbage, rat infestation and rats running around the neighborhood. And got lots of calls on that. I'll see if I can check with Jonelle. I'll check with her and see what the... I might have a connection and see if I can get a hold of Cornerstone to see if they'd be... what their intentions are, if they'd be willing to donate. Have you talked with them at all, Danielle? Are they looking to donate or you don't know?
I've called and left them a few messages and they won't call me back. I don't know what their thoughts are, whether they want to donate, whether they want to sell it.
All right, well, let me see what I can find out about that. And also 115 Front, let me check at the Village Hall and see if, they might have a contact for the husband that has left, and see if I can come up with something there to expedite that issue. But those are two bad ones that I have, 115 Front and 44 Upper Farnham. But I'll do some research on that and see if I can find out anything more.
Okay. The owner of 111 West First Street, and where we did 9 projects surrounding it, is Brian Webster. I don't know if anybody knows him.
Brian Webster, do you know him?
Yeah. No.
Friend?
Do you know him, Scott? Oh.
He was into, he had a carpet business as well.
Yes.
But that's a pretty, that house is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what he's going to do with it. There's no way he's going to fix it.
Yeah, he's going to do nothing. It's gutted. We've been trying to get a hold of that. We tried for about 2 years, but it's gutted inside. I've been through it.
I tried when I was on city council because it was my ward. And the one next to it got torn down, but not this one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I tore that one down next door.
Yeah, that was great. 111. Okay. So, Ray, will you let us know then how you make out with Upper Farnham and Front Street?
Yes, I will.
If we can get a hold of the gentleman. We can get a hold of the husband, the ex-husband. That might be our first choice.
Chances are he's very happy wherever he is.
Sounds like it. Yeah. He owns part of the house.
Yeah, he might be in Oklahoma.
It's a cost that you sometimes bear. That's just true. To get away.
I think he wants to be invisible in case we try to go after him for any... you know, unpaid water and sewer or taxes.
That could be as well, yeah.
I believe he might currently be in Oklahoma on a quick search.
Wow, he moved away. Well, maybe he'd be willing to sign. I mean, if we find him, does he just have to sign a piece of paper that says
the deed,
that's it, right?
That's right. I think he's probably concerned about the unpaid taxes and water and sewer, but if I can get a number and talk to him and reassure him that those will all go away. If we can get a signature, we would be golden with that.
Yeah.
And okay, sometimes you have to offer them something too as an incentive if they're really not interested in talking to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Make it sound sweet in the pot.
$1,000. $500. Go away.
Sign here, you make $500, right?
Which he would have to split with his wife.
Yeah, probably would for sure.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Ray, you can work your magic.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll check with her. I got a feeling she knows where he's at, but probably doesn't want to tell. He's afraid of getting hit with unpaid taxes and water and sewer. But
well, we can work that.
If I can make them go away, he might be interested.
And it might be a something off his shoulders. Get rid of it.
figure it out. Are we in a position,
Brian,
are we in a position, if I can leverage him also with the, we can't offer him money to sign, can we?
I would think we could, yeah.
To sign? We could, if I could offer him, you know, $500 to sign, you know, that would be it to his sweeten the pot. I like that term.
Yeah.
I think better we generally pay a few $1,000 in back taxes when we acquire our demos. So I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
And maybe the incentive he needs. And then we'll have to offer her the same thing, right? She's going to donate it. I don't know. Maybe they don't talk.
I don't know.
That's a very developable lot next to Acorn.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's great. So I'd really like to get that moving. So if I could. Yep. So.
I might have a phone number, Ray, if you would like. I can send you the information that I just found really quick. Do you want me to email it to you?
Okay. Got my email.
And Ray, if you have good news, Ray, after you do some investigation, can you email, you can email Chris. Chris will get it out to us that we can all be happy about that one before Christmas. It'll be our Christmas present.
What's Chris's email?
I'll email you this afternoon, Ray, so you have it.
Okay. All right. And Danielle, you'll send me that village.mayor, villageofaddison.info.
Yep, I will do that.
Okay. See what we can do.
Perfect. Can't hurt to try, right?
That's right. You get nothing if you try nothing, you know. And I tell my board, I don't give up and I don't go away. So.
So Brian Webster, do you know? Does he live around? Is he living Corning? Do you know?
I believe he lives in Corning.
I'm wondering if a or phone
maybe
call.
Maybe Beth.
Painted Post is what his address says.
Painted Post. Is it worth a phone call to find out if he's?
I've talked to him multiple times. He had this whole story that his mom had a $62,000 lien on it, but we didn't find anything at the courthouse, and he would need at least that to cover what he owes her. And he didn't even know if he sell for more. He was acting like he wanted more than that to begin with. He thinks it's redevelopable as a 4-unit, but he's not on. I don't want to say anything weird, but he's not on this planet and what he wants to do there.
Well, it's falling apart in the back and everything. It's all coming down.
But it's typical. You're not going to just walk away from something if you think you can get value out of it.
So not $60,000, but.
Well, you start high, Hilda.
Although, Rocco, when was that? Could he have maybe changed his mind?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, but then, you know, the house we demoed next door and then two houses below on Central Lane, Habitat for Humanity built three homes there, and they wanted possession of it too, and she got the same pushback from them. So, but he's not doing anything to it. He has no plans to fix it because I offered him a $25,000 grant towards his renovation, but it's just sitting there. He was one of the only people I never got anywhere with.
Hmm.
Fred Potter, are you looking for properties for development purposes?
Yeah.
There's a property in Greenwood the county already owns. There's a contract then issued for demolition. It was a house that had burned in a fire. Tammy probably knows about this one, and they were going to demolish it and then put it on the county tax sale this next year. I know it's not in Hornell or Corning, but it's right on Main Street in Greenwood.
Didn't that already come down, Fred?
It's on schedule to come down by the end of the month.
Yes.
So we're demolishing it?
No, the county is.
Yeah, I mean the county. So that's...
Could the land bank contribute towards part of that? I mean, technically, according to the Land Bank Act, the land bank doesn't have to have title in order to have it count as a deliverable. So is there a way that we could somehow partner in that and then be able to count that credit as for a deliverable?
Yeah, because there's two actually that are coming down this month that the county is doing. So I'm sure we could work something out. No.
I think we
have in Greenwood.
I think we'd have to talk to guys about you know, if the land bank had to be in the chain of title at any place, or you know, what their formal processes require to be counted towards it.
Do you already know that answer, Danielle?
Yeah, I mean, we've had that conversation with Enterprise before. The land bank does not have to be in chain of title in order to participate and have it count as a deliverable. If there hasn't been like a phase one environmental done already, something like that would be a requirement that would need to be done. But, you know, we've talked before with Enterprise about partnering with Habitat, and they've said you can contribute towards the project without being in the chain of title. Obviously, with a rehab, you have more of the financial requirements for the new owner, but with a demo, you really don't have that. So I think it's definitely worth at least looking to see if we can make that work. We can have that conversation with Enterprise as well, just to confirm, but I think that would be a great way to contribute, meet our deliverables, and not have to worry about the June timeframe.
Did you say a phase one has to be completed?
Yes.
That would be a very tight timeline to get a phase one completed and demoed by 12/31.
Could we push it back? Do we have to?
It's a contract with the county to have it done by 12/31.
That's something that we can reach out to the company Fagan that typically does our phase ones and see if they can expedite something. And it could be done in a couple of weeks if we really rush on this. So we can always reach out to Enterprise today, get some sort of confirmation from them, and then send that around via email to see what we wanted to do.
If you could, that'd be great.
Okay.
So you said there's two. Where's the other one?
I can't think off the top of my head, but Greenwood, and it's another county-owned property. It's through Steve Orca.
Chris?
Yes.
I believe it's in Whalen.
Okay. Does that ring a bell, Tammy?
Or Pat.
So you said, Fred, that the Greenwood property is on Main Street. I didn't know there was a Main Street in Greenwood, but
of course where is. There's a Main Street in Greenwood, Truthburg, and Jasper. You need to get out.
All the same.
I gotta get out of the Corny more often. Wayland, is that a property that is has a high visibility?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could we modify the contract at this point?
I don't know. That's a Jen question. I honestly don't know.
Talk about it off the record.
Sure.
We could move it.
If we can do anything, that would be an easy fix. Just extend it to March.
If we own it and it's our contract.
Yeah, but we have third parties that are assisting. So
oh.
I just would have to.
Gotcha.
Kind of figure out the puzzle. Well, the land bank could contribute to meet the Enterprise grant at this stage.
Well, these sound a little bit more optimistic than the, not that we don't want to find that gentleman, but that could help as well. And there's no reason why we couldn't do a couple, right?
Yeah.
I will reach out to Brian Webster. You're right, Jen. It's been a while. And you know, CHP could contribute money towards that to offset the acquisition costs if he's come down on his price. But Jen, can Code send any violations to put heat on him? Because
yeah, I will. Yeah, I will talk to my staff, see if we can do something.
My God, there's no way you can even get near it. It's falling apart. Perfect. Oh, we got all kinds of activity now. Thanks, Fred. Anything else? Anybody have anything else?
Good on my end.
Nope. Then I think, unless there's something else, the next meeting, January 6th, unless we hear emails back and forth, we can do emails before then with progress of what we just discussed.
We normally don't hear emails. We read them, but I understand what you mean.
Oh, I don't know. Yes. Anyway.
To adjourn.
Wait, motion to adjourn. Second. Thank you. Do I have a second?
He's pretty sharp.
A second.
Yeah, he's sharp. All right. Look up. Never mind. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carried. We're adjourned. If we don't hear, I'm using here. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you.